Good morning. I think we can say praise the Lord this morning with that baptism. It's always exciting to speak on a baptism morning and hear the message and the testimony of the person being baptized. They stole a little of my thunder this morning because he mentioned two things I was going to talk about this morning. So I feel like I should just come up here and wrap things up and give thanks and we can all go home. But that ain't going to happen. I worked too hard on this. I'm excited to be able to speak on the Psalms and as we come to the close of our short series that we had on the Psalms to speak on Psalm 100. Because it's a psalm of praise. And I want to say I really appreciate the Psalms because one of the areas of my life as a young Christian that I was lousy at was the area of worship. And the Psalms really helped me with learning how to worship Jesus Christ and how to worship the Lord. I had brothers who came alongside me and we would pray through the Psalms together back to God. And it really taught me about having a heart of worship. And it helped me begin to express in a public, verbal way my worship of the Lord Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Reflections on the Psalms, "It is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to men." See, God reveals himself to us in the process of worship when we can get lost in praising him. I think we get a better understanding of who God is. And that's really why I wanted to speak on Psalm 100 this morning. So before I start, why don't we go ahead and pray? I want to pray again for Ryan. I really appreciated his testimony. I know the Gluckerts must be really excited. And so let's just come before him and pray. Father, we want to thank you again that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God, to come before you. Pray that you might speak to us through your Word this morning. Pray for Ryan that his faith would grow, that he himself would become a worshiper of the one true God, Lord, and that you might use him for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're not there already, I encourage you, turn to Psalm 100. We're going to read that right now. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. A psalm for thanksgiving. In the NIV and the King James, it says, a psalm for praise. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. I think we did that this morning. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100. Is the only one out of the 150 psalms that is a psalm of praise. There's no sadness in it. It's a psalm of gratitude, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. It's a call to worship our God. I remember as a young believer, I was the why guy. You know, why should I do this? Why should I do that? Whenever someone showed me the scripture, well, whenever someone mentioned something to me, you know, you ought to think about baptism. Why? You ought to think about going to church. Well, why do I need to go to church? You ought to think about serving the Lord. Why should I serve the Lord? why should I worship the Lord? So this morning I want to start with the why. Because I was a why all the time. I probably drove my mom nuts. I know I drove those who discipled me nuts. Why should I be grateful? Why should I be thankful? Why should I worship God? And unlike going in order, I'm one of those guys who reads the end of the book first, and then I go back to the beginning and figure it out. I'm going to start in verse 5, because I think verse 5 really gives us the why of worship. And it begins, "For the Lord is good." The Lord is good. You know, the first reason that the psalmist gives us is the goodness of the Lord. Not because of anything he's done for us, but part of his character, part of who he is that he is good. Everything that the Lord does for us springs out of his goodness. He's always good. He's always just. And that's just who the Lord is. That's just who God is. He's good. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that God is good in the way he is good. Because no one else is as good as he is. We really have no one to compare him to. We may know some people who have good qualities, but like was said this morning, none of us is really good. I love my granddaughter, Mila. We always talk about her, Lisa and I, and say she's preemie tough. She was born 9 weeks premature. She weighed, I think it was 3.6 ounces. She was, pounds. She was really little. She weighed 3.6 pounds. My wife caught that right away. I don't even think I was done saying that. And she has a good spirit about her. She's really good-natured. She talks to people. Mila'll break out in song in the middle of a store or wherever she's going. We were taking a trip from Virginia to Tennessee, and I think like a couple of those hours, we were just singing on the way down the highway. And just last week, we went out to dinner with her. And I prayed beforehand, "Lord, let the kids be really good when we enjoy this dinner." It was Joel's birthday. And she was wonderful. She was awesome. She had the waitress eating out of her hand. She asked her her name. She told her what she was wearing looked cute. And told her what she wanted to eat, and she was just a joy to be around, all smiles, all lovely. And I'm tempted to say that she's always sweet, but I know better. She's also sneaky. One day when Lisa and I were gone, we were out running an errand, she came into the house, and she snuck into the freezer, and she grabbed our ice cream. And she took Grandma and Papa's ice cream, and she went under the dining room table and began to eat it. And we came home, and she had left it, because I guess she took off before she was done with the half gallon. And I had two bloated dogs sitting in the room. Just looks sad. Saying, kind of help me. And if you remember my chihuahua, I've mentioned him before he has acid reflux. I also think he's also lactose intolerant now. My dogs are sick for a couple of days. And so we talked to her. We said, Mila, you can't do that. Okay, Papa, I won't do that. You know, you can't give ice cream to the dogs. Okay, I won't give ice cream to the dogs. You can't just take ice cream. So just this week, we left again, and Joel was home. And Joel was home, he thought, by himself. And so he heard some rattling in the kitchen. And there she was, trying to rip open the new half gallon of ice cream. And he got up and he walked out to the kitchen. Hey, what are you doing? And she put it down. And she walked away. Nothing. Doing nothing. So she's not always good. She's sweet a lot of the time. She's sweet most of the time, but she's not always good. And you may say, well, you know, that's not nice to say that about your grandmother or your granddaughter. Well, I'm having issues this morning. That's not nice to say about your granddaughter, but I'm going to say it of all of you. Most of you are nice most of the time, but you're not all good. The thing, though, is that God is always good. You've heard the expression, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And that's really true. He is always good. Never anything but good. We don't have to catch him at a good time. And he's always good to us. He's always working good things in us and for us. Next reason why we should praise him. His loving kindness is everlasting. And the word used here for the word translated loving kindness in the New American Standard, I know some of you have other translations where the word is translated mercy, is hesed. It's a Hebrew word that's translated many different ways in the scripture. It's translated mercy, steadfast love, faithfulness, trustworthiness, loyalty, kindness. And in Psalm 100, though, it's translated loving kindness. It's a word that's found throughout the Old Testament that speaks of the character of God, his faithfulness, and his loyalty and love to his people. It's used in Exodus to speak of God's relationship with the people of Israel when he brought them out of slavery, and he would be their God, and they would be his people. There was a hesed, there was a covenant, there was a devotion to those people. I read a definition that I liked. It's talked about God's hesed is a lifelong loyalty to us. It's everlasting, but in our lives it's a lifelong loyalty. Another commentator called it a God's no strings attached covenant loyalty. It's really a parallel to the New Testament term agape. Agape love. Self-sacrificial love. God is faithful and loving because of who he is. We see the ultimate example of this type of love in the Lord Jesus on the cross, where Jesus gave his life to redeem us from sin, that we might be his people. His loving kindness is everlasting. It made me think of John 10:28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. If God says he's going to save you and he's going to keep you, he's going to do it. You don't have to worry about it. His word is good. And his faithfulness, another reason to praise him, his faithfulness is to all generations. In the Hebrew, it's generation to generation. God is faithful. He doesn't change. God's truth doesn't change. I remember having to get my car smogged one day, and I went to the place where I was getting it smogged, and I was talking to the owner. And as we were talking, we began to talk about religion. And I saw up on the wall pictures, and I asked him, what are those pictures you have up on the wall? And he said, well, those are my gods. And I said, well, let me tell you about my God. And I said, what's your God like? Is he good? Is he changing? And he kind of said that his God is fickle. And the way his God reacts is kind of how his God woke up that day. And he told me if he kind of woke up on the wrong side of the bed, might not be happy with me. And his word, he may tell me he's going to do something for me one day, and the next day he may change his mind because he's God. And so how he interacts with me can change on a daily basis. And I asked him, I says, well, then how do you know what your standing is before God? How do you know what will happen after death? And he said, I'll find out when it happens, but I won't know until then. And I said, well, let me tell you about my God. And I shared with him that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ is unchangeable. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't merely help us today and forsake us tomorrow. He's unchanging. And when the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life, you could bank on it. Because the Lord doesn't change. You can believe it. And this guy was amazed. And we had further discussion until one of his family members came from the back and told him, that's not what we believe. You need to tell this guy to get out of here. And so I left. I left him a tract. And that's the last time I ever talked to him. Think about what it would be like to serve a fickle God who could one day say you're saved and the next day say you're not, whose word changes. Fortunately, we have the truth, and his truth in the word of God is unchanging. So, I gave you the whys of Psalm 100. Let's talk about the hows and how we should praise him. Beginning in verse 1, we should praise the Lord by shouting joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shouting joyfully was a way of receiving a victorious king. A king who had won a battle. Are you excited about your King Jesus? If you know him, you should be excited for the battle he won, defeating sin and death. Last week, Desiree came home. My daughter-in-law, Desiree, came home, and she was smiling. And she had Aiden with her, and he's kind of skipping along. And she came and told me, man, we were in the store, and he just started belting out. I don't know if they were in the store or somewhere else, but Aiden just started belting out, Jesus loves me. And I got a big smile on my face. I always love it when I hear the kids praise God, praise Jesus. And she was excited as a mom. It's exciting when our kids love the Lord and praise the Lord. Do you get excited about Jesus as you do the Warriors? Truth. I heard truth. Do you get as excited about Jesus as the Raiders win last week over the Titans? If God, they got lucky. I heard that. If God has worked victory in your life, get excited. If he's answered your prayers, shout for joy. If he has been good to you, love him and tell him about it. You know, I like what Kevin said last night. You know, let our hearts go. He said, you know, let yourself go. And that was Kevin who said that. I actually had to listen to his message again. Just did Kevin really say that? Yeah, he did. Good. We need to let our hearts go in worship of the Lord. The next reason, in verse 2, we should praise the Lord, serving the Lord with gladness. Do you serve the Lord? Now let me ask, do you serve the Lord joyfully, or is it a burden to you? You know, a majority of the people here at Fairhaven do so on a volunteer basis. We don't have some large paid staff. But people serve the Lord out of their love for their Lord and out of joy of serving him. You know, it's not about entertaining people week in and week out so we can keep people coming back, because I'm sure if I was the entertainer, there wouldn't be as many people here. Let me ask you, if you're not serving the Lord, do you want to be involved in service for the Lord? Because we could use people to serve the Lord. I know that we spoke about this morning, we're doing a class on training people how to work with children and talking about safety issues. I know Catherine Adams is looking for people to serve just once a month in the preschool ministry. I know Bobby is looking for people who wants to serve in children's church. I know Lisa and Mark and I are looking for people to help out with the children's Sunday school. The prison ministry is always looking for somebody to correct papers or to comment on papers that Bible studies that prisoners send in. We have a chapel work day coming up on September 30th, and I'm sure that the deacons would be pleased if people signed up to serve on the 30th, to help clean up. We do it a couple times a year around the chapel. There's so many ways to serve. You can speak to me or one of the other elders or one of the deacons how you can get involved. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Are you willing to present your body to God to serve him? If so, talk to one of us. However, not everybody who's called to serve does so with gladness. It's difficult sometimes, and sometimes maybe you need to confess that, because the Lord wants us to be, you know, it's a joy to be able to serve the Lord. Think about it. He could just wave a wand and we wouldn't have to do anything, but he lets us partner with him in his ministry, whether it's sharing the gospel, whether it's cleaning up, whether it's serving a meal to somebody, God allows us and uses us to serve Him through us. And He uses us to serve others. Next, we should praise the Lord by coming before Him with joyful singing. Remember, I think the key is we always focus on the joyful singing. And we skip over. We're coming before Him when we sing. This morning, when we stood up and we sang those three songs, we were coming before the Lord with our joyful singing. Again, last week, Kevin challenged us to sing about the things that God has done for us and do so by singing out the words, not just mumbling the words. Now, I've caught myself before. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, He has made me glad. And I'm thinking of a thousand other things. I'm sort of mumbling these words mindlessly because I've sung that song a number of times. I was really happy because at Breaking of Bread last Sunday night, after his challenge, there was a lot of people who were singing out to the Lord. And I think that's pleasing to the Lord when we do that. You know, his challenge really made me mindful of the Lord during the Breaking of Bread. And I think it did the same thing to others. We need to come before Him with joyful singing. Another way we could praise Him is that we can know the Lord because He is God. He is our Creator. And He is our Shepherd. We need to know and believe and understand and experience Him as God. And the simple fact is that because He is God, it means we are not God. And we need to understand that. If you're griping and complaining about circumstances in your life, you know, are you taking it out on God? Are you complaining about God? It's like saying, God, you're not doing a very good job and I'm not too happy with it. We need to spend time in prayer with Him. You know, there's a connection between being joyful and acknowledging that the Lord is God. And we want to do that. We experience God when we experience grace, when we experience conviction, testing, trials in our life. We experience His presence through the Word of God or the ministry to us of fellow Christians. I think sometimes we lose sight of that, and we really need to open our eyes and see how God is working in others to minister around here and minister to us. We need to remember that He made you. He's the Creator. Psalm 95:6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We need to remember that we are His people, those of us who know Jesus Christ, who've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We are His people. Psalm 71:23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to You, I, whom You have redeemed. And we are His sheep, and He is our shepherd. Psalm 79:13, then Your people, the sheep of Your pasture, will praise You forever. From generation to generation, we will recount Your praise. Because God is good, He's full of loving kindness and faithfulness, we should be a people of joy. We should praise the Lord because we're called to praise Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, verse 4. Dozens of times, in the Psalms alone, we're commanded to praise the Lord, which implies that we're to do it whether we feel like it or not. But you know, if we never feel like it, then we got a real problem. There's something seriously wrong with our Christian life. Being in the presence of the Lord should result in thanksgiving. My prayer has been that we as a church would place a priority not only on worship, but joyful worship to the Lord. That we might praise Him for that loving kindness, that covenant love He has, that no strings attached love that we're shown. That our worship would flow out of the abundance of love we have for Him. It would flow out of our gratitude, out of our appreciation. And that we would be people who want to be known as worshipers. I had a very interesting thing happen last night. I was talking to Lisa. We bought this book, How to Worship Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not recommending it. There's some good things in there. But one of the things that caught my eye was a little inscription inside the cover. We bought it used. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna Google this guy's name and who wrote the inscription. And I want to see what his life was like. Who would buy this book and what kind of life did he live? And I found him. And he went home to be with the Lord in March of this year, so I read his obituary. But listen what he says. He and his wife had bought this book for another couple, and he says, God is so gracious to give us each other and to give us His Son. May you both enter into the precious joy of worship and adoration of Himself. He had bought this book to share with another couple that they might begin grow in their worship of Jesus Christ. And so when I read his obituary, it said his life verse was Psalm 115:1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. It said his final days were a consistent testimony to the love of Jesus and desire to glorify God. He was a worshiper of God. What a testimony that would be if it were said of us that we were worshipers of God. So let me end by talking a little bit about where we should praise Him. Well, you could praise Him anywhere. You could praise Him in your home. You could praise Him on your way to work. You could praise Him at work. You know, Chuck used to do it on the golf course. You know, Lisa and I, we get on the phone sometimes and just pray together and praise the Lord. You know, I get in my car in the morning, I turn off the noise of the radio, and I praise the Lord on my way to work. But we're also called to corporate worship as a body. And we do that at the breaking of bread. Tonight we're going to remember the Lord and His work on the cross at the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember His death, burial, and resurrection, His victory over sin as we break the bread and pass the cup to one another. Do you do that? Do you praise the Lord? Is that important to you? There we have the opportunity to not only worship Him for what He has done, but we can worship Jesus for who He is. I pray that our worship would never grow old and stale. If it does, I pray we would repent of that. I pray the Lord, if that's the case, the Lord would shake us up and cause us to seek Him. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. We're going to do a song. And I'm gonna pray, and then we'll do the music, and then we'll be dismissed. So let's pray. Father, we do want to come before you. We want to thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We do want to shout joyfully to him for the work that he's done, but more so who he is. Lord, we know that you are good. We know that you show us loving kindness, that you have a loyal love to us, and that love is everlasting. Pray that we would not lose sight of that. Pray that out of our hearts would come joy because we know you. And we know that we, those of us who know you, have everlasting life. We pray in Jesus' name.